2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to give you a Bible class, classroom teaching tonight. Pastor Dave's been bringing a lot of this truth that I'm bringing, but it's been on my heart. And title of the message, you want to put a title on it, Austin, Pass It On. Pass It On. And 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. I'm just going to read the first two verses. Why don't we stand for the Word of God? And many and much of the things I'm going to say to you tonight, you've heard. You know, there's nothing new underneath the sun. But I'm going to try to put some doctrine in your heart tonight. You know, a lot of people know stuff. The amen. Preach on eternal security. Amen, preacher. You preach on the seven dispensations of how God's got different times of amen. You preach on the rapture. Amen. And you get you name after subject, and people say amen. And that's good that you say amen. But it's better that you say amen and know how to show it in the scriptures. And so I'm going to give you a truth about the grace of God tonight. And the wonderful grace of God. We're to, you know, that grace that God gave us, we're to pass it on. And so let's look at the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. By the way, if there's anything outside of Christ, you can't be strong. Because there is no grace outside of Christ. And the things, this was when I went to Bible college back in the 1970s, this was the theme of our college. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. God's saying, hey, you that learn, pass it on. This truth that you get about the grace of God in verse 1 that's in Christ Jesus, pass that on. And so tonight, I'll just take a few things tonight to share with you in the scriptures. Many of it you've heard. You preachers in here, let me say something to you. Always preach what the Lord puts in your heart. I could bring a lot of messages tonight, but this little Bible truth, this little Bible lesson I'm going to do is what God said, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so I know that if you listen, the Holy Spirit will encourage you in some ways. There's always something that someone says, hey, I never saw that before. And when you read the Bible, I don't care how many times I read it over. Man, I never saw that before. As many times, you know, it's amazing. So you just don't get turned off when I talk to you about stuff you already know, because something there God wants you to hear tonight, okay? Maybe he wants you to have that truth so you can share it with some of your family or friends. Father, I thank you for the privilege of standing and preaching your word and teaching it. Thank you for Dr. John Brook, Lord, that many years ago put a lot of great truth in my heart, showed me scriptures and brought light to me. And I pray tonight I can be a blessing. Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me and fill me. And I pray people, even though they've heard these truths, I pray they will not be old to them. Pray they'll rejoice in them like they're brand new, and that they'll just take it in and embrace it so they might be able to share it with some other person in the future. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, today we need faithful men and women who've got the grace of salvation to take that out and share it and pass it on with other people. You know what our duty is? Not just preachers. Every Christian here today, if you're a born-again Christian here today, you need to take this truth and pass it on to somebody else. It says, look at the scripture in verse 2, and the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You ought to learn so much, so when you learn it, you can teach somebody else also. Tito Mel always goes to work, and he's led a lot of men to Christ by teaching them the Word of God. The scripture says, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It takes the Word of God to get people free. The Scripture says, the entrance of thy Word giveth light, over there in the book of Psalms, even unto the simple. It's God's Word that brings light into darkness. And so all the light and all the Word you can get in your heart and all the truth, if you can have them in your heart and you could share it with others, oh, how God will use that as a tool to reach people. People just don't get saved. They have to hear the Word of God. So then faith cometh by, and hearing by the, yeah, people have to hear it. But for us to put it out, we must have it in our heart. We must have it and know where it's at to share it with others. Amen? And I'm just going to give you a Bible truth tonight. You know, our strength is in the grace of Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, we have no strength. Look at that verse 1 again. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in the local church. No. That's in baptism. No. That's in who? Christ Jesus. The only strength you got is from, and the grace you got is from Christ. Our strength is only in, and the grace is from Christ Jesus. Only Jesus Christ has saving grace. Acts 4:2 says, and there's none other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. There's no other name other gets it's Jesus Christ. We should always remember how we got saved. Because all of us got saved the same way. All of us got saved the same way. We got saved by God's marvelous grace. I want you to look. I'm going to give you a thought tonight about if you ever come into contact with people that believe you can get saved by works. You can't get saved by works. And I'm going to give you some scripture tonight. Go to Galatians chapter 2. And look at verse 16. Galatians 2:16, it says this. And I like what Brother Donnie, the first word in Galatians 2:16, knowing. How many see that word? Knowing. God wants us to know things. Amen. These things are written that you might know, the Bible says. But no, look at verse 16 here, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. No, he's not saved by works. But how? By the faith of what? Yes. Even if we believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Not, no works. And not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. How many people will be justified by the works? None. Zilch. Zero. But yet there's thousands and thousands of people. Pastor Dave mentioned they're working and they're striving to try to make it into heaven. You're not going to make it to heaven if you're working that way. You don't work your way. People that are saved will work, but we don't work to be saved. Amen. James talks about a saving faith will be a working faith, and but notice Galatians 2:16, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Look while you're in there in Galatians, look at Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God by what? Faith in a person, though. Who is that person? Christ Jesus. If you don't have faith in Christ Jesus, you're not a child of God. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so it's all by Christ. It's all God's grace. Look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9, a familiar scripture. I'll get going here, and I'm laying a little foundation here, and then we'll get into some stuff. Look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9, next book up there. You're in Galatians, go to the next book, Ephesians. For by grace, you say, oh, preacher, I've heard all this stuff. Yeah, I know you have. But God wants you to have it in your heart. You ought to have these close to your heart, so when you're dealing with people, say, ah, that's not what the scripture said. You've erred. The Bible says, look at Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through what? Faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Oh, yeah, if you can get saved by works, you can be boasting. And if we get enough time, I'm going to show you the illustration of Abraham in Romans chapter 4. But so we see plainly here that it's all by grace. No works, all grace of God. Many people believe in works that keep them saved, but that's not true. Works never saved anybody, never will save anybody. I want you to look at the scripture. I'm going to show you a story in Genesis. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Great illustration of faith versus works. Look at Genesis. How many got Genesis 4:1? Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And are you in 4:1 with me? She bare Cain and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." And again, bare his brother Abel. We think they might have been twins because it doesn't say she conceived again. It just said she conceived once. Good possibility. Can't prove it 100%, but good possibility Cain and Abel were twins. And she bare again his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass, and by the way, it always does, that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth. He was mad. And his countenance fell like you did this afternoon when you were watching the football team. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why are you mad? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted." So he's asking, "Hey, if you just come the way I want you to come, I'll accept you." See, there's only one way you can come to God. There's only one way you can come to God. Because God won't accept any other way. "And if thou doest well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now, if you'll know, you say, "Well, what's the difference between Cain and Abel?" Cain offered up a lamb. He shed the blood of an innocent lamb. Abel offered up the lamb. God was pleased with it. Cain offered up the works of his hand. God was displeased. See, you can't work your way to heaven. And there's nothing you can do by works that's going to get you in heaven. By the way, where did Abel learn that? Well, we don't need to turn, but you can look if you want while I'm talking to you. In Genesis 3:21, you see that Adam and Eve were naked, and God clothed them. They were naked because of sin, and God clothed them. And so we believe God killed an innocent lamb to clothe them and taught them, "Hey, I'm here 4,000 years from now, I'm going to send the Lamb of God. And that lamb's blood from the Messiah, the Savior, is going to save you from all your sin." And so God taught Adam and Eve that you had to have a blood sacrifice of the lamb. How many are still with me? That's why Abel, the son, was taught. They taught their two sons, Cain and Abel. Abel said, "Okay, I believe you, Mom and Dad. I'm going to come unto God. I'm going to offer this lamb, which is a type of what's going to come in the future for me to forgive me of my sins, that shed blood of the lamb." How many are still with me? But Abel, he was like the rest, most of the world today. "Oh, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way." He was like Frank Sinatra. "I'll do it my way." You do it your way and you end up in hell. I hope Mr. Sinatra didn't end up there. But if he did it his way, he ended up there. There's only one way to approach a holy God, and that's through the sacrifice of a lamb, the blood of the lamb. And Jesus was the Lamb of God. And all these lambs in the Old Testament were pictures of what was going to come in the future for the Christ. And so when you study the Old Testament, you see all those blood sacrifices. They're in type of what was going to come that was going to make eternal redemption. How many are still with me? And so we see in the scriptures there that God, Cain tried to be justified by his works, by his hands. And we found out, and we read in Galatians and we read in Ephesians, For the works of the flesh shall no flesh be what? Justified. Are you still with me, church? And I truly believe, just like Cain, he offered up the works of his hands. Cain had a chance to get saved. He come God's way, but he refused to go God's way. Because people don't want to go God's way. They want to go their own way. They want to merit their own eternal life. They want to merit something that God says you deserve. No, we don't deserve nothing. It's all God, none of us. Down through the centuries of time since Cain and Abel, multitudes on top of multitudes of people have died without Christ because they offered up the works of their hands, the works of their life, instead of faith in the Christ, the Lamb. And all those people opened up their eyes. Those that tried to do like Cain, I believe Cain's in hell right now. I believe Cain is in hell crying out right now because he tried to get to heaven by the works of his hands. People die without Christ and they open up their eyes in torments like he read today in chapter 16 of Luke. They thought they did something to merit eternal life, but they were wrong. Listen to me real quickly. I won't be long tonight. Just this one truth I want to put in your heart. People need to see truth about God's salvation. Because, Brother Carl, they don't get it. They don't. People need to hear the truth about God's salvation. How many believe that? People need to see the truth of God's salvation. People need to hear God's truth about God's salvation. And people need to understand the truth about God's understanding. That lady came up here today. She said, I've been in church. She said, I finally just started to understand. See, the entrance of thy word giveth life. Listen. People need to come to grips that they are a lost sinner and desperately need of a Savior. Your family that are not saved need to know that. Your friends need to know that. The guy you work with needs to know that. The lady that you talked to on the phone needs to know that. The mailman needs to know that. For years we had a mailman that was a born-again Christian here in our house. We used to have great fellowship. Here's some mail. Here's some letters from heaven. I used to give him some tracts. Give it out to the mail carriers. He retired, but he was a born again Christian. Listen, people need to come to grips that they are truly a sinner and in desperate need of a Savior. They need to see and understand that they are personally standing before God guilty. I'm going to give you a little truth here. Turn up to John chapter 3. And then I'm going to go to Romans, and I'll be in Romans the rest of the time. At least I think I am. John 3. I'll get you out here by 7. Unless Pastor Dave keeps me on. Look at John chapter 3. Look at verse 18 and 19. Here's why people don't get saved. Preacher, why don't people get saved? Look at verse 18 and 19 of John 3. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. What does a person have to do to go to hell? They don't have nothing. They're already on their way to hell. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. You're already there. You're going there until you get saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Those people that rioted this last week and tearing things up, their deeds were evil. They weren't worried about that boy that was shot. They had their own agenda. Their deeds were evil. When we do stuff that's against God, it's not God's fault. It's our deeds are evil. Hello? Man has enmity. Man does things against God all the time. Willingly. Even you and I are saved because we have a fallen nature, which is called the flesh. The Bible says it's enmity. Over in the book of Romans, it says it's enmity against God. When you have enmity, that means you want to kill somebody. It's deeper than hatred, stronger than hatred, enmity. And that's what our fallen nature has with God. And so these people, they love darkness rather than light. And they're missing out on the grace of God because they love darkness rather than light. Now, look at Romans 3:19, because it really sums up the whole world standing before God. Romans 3:19 says this. Now we know. God's not a hope-so, he's a no-so. Now we know that whatsoever things the law says, it said to them are under the law, and that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. God puts that gavel down. You're guilty. Be silent. I can see the multitudes. Hey, God. No, I didn't have it. Guilty. Be silent. Stop your mouth. The world stands guilty before God because they didn't listen to God's word and God's man. God's man telling them the word, but they rejected it. Notice it says they stand guilty. I want to show you some things about the depravity of man. Look at Romans 3:10. Look at the depravity of man. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. How many understands? None. How many seek after God? By the way, the only time you and I seek after God is when he draws us. No man cometh to the Father unless the Father draws. Are you still with me? Look at the world. This includes us. They're all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. We're worth nothing, man. You say, well, God should have saved me. I'm worth a lot. No, you're unprofitable. No, nobody's worth anything. Our worth is in Christ. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Then he gives a description of what we look like. Their throat is an open sepulcher, a smelly, depraved, defiled grave. Ooh. It opens up, it's smelly, rotten, deteriorated. Can you imagine that? He said, that's what your throat looks like. With the tongues, you have used deceit, a poison of asp, poisonous snakes under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Isn't it amazing we can be praising God 1 minute and cursing the next? It's amazing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This is a picture of the whole world, by the way. This is you and I. This is why we need to be this is why we need the grace of God. The destruction and misery are on in their ways. And a way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I'm going to tell you right now, if I was talking to Brother Steve Robinson on the phone yesterday, and I've been talking to him, the way people act today, there's no fear. You say, how can people do those things? How can people say those things? How can people literally go out and perform those acts? There's no fear in God. There's no fear of God. I'm going to tell you something. The best thing you kids can learn to do, fear God. You know how you fear your daddy? You're afraid he'll spank you? Have even greater fear for God. See, your daddy only spanks you because he loves you. And he wants you to learn to do right. That's the same way God is. He loves us, and he wants us to do right. Amen? Now notice. Notice in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And by the way, I wanted to mention that. Every man has a chance to be saved. Titus 2:11, don't turn to it. The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And God's grace has appeared to all men in two ways. In two ways, the two preachers that God gave. Are you in Romans? Where do I have you? Look at Romans 1:19. The first way he speaks to you is by the conscience that's inside you. Look at Romans 1:19. Because that which was made me known of God is manifested in them. How many see that? How many see that? It's in them. Look up here. Let me show you real quick. John 1:9 says he was the light that lighteth every man that come in the world. Every person that's ever born, every baby, every person is born with a God conscience. that God is. That's that light, that God conscience. That's why the book of Hebrews says, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, people, you know why I got saved? I didn't put the light out. I probably came really close to it many times. But praise God, I never put the light out completely. And then I started seeking after God, seeking because he was drawing me. And Rosie took me to church. And I heard the preacher preach. And I read the Bible. And all of a sudden, more light kept coming. More light kept coming. More light kept coming. And one day I realized I saw the light like the Apostle Paul did. I saw, oh my lands, Jesus is the Son of God. I got down for an old green couch, paid $110 for it. Lamps and tables and everything. We first got married. And I got down on my knees. I was already a member of Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. Already been baptized, but I wasn't saved. In the church, but not saved. There's a lot of people in churches that aren't saved. But God showed me truth. That night I asked Christ to come to my heart and save my soul. Forgive me of all my sins. Because light came in. You say, how could you be in church and not be? How, I'm going to give you a real truth here. By the way, the creation, the first preacher is the God conscience. The second preacher is the creation. The glory declareth the firmament declareth the glory of God. If you can look up and see all them stars and everything, and you don't see there's a God, a handyman to this, you're an idiot. The Bible says that only a fool has said in his heart there's no God. And so, but I'm going to give you a great illustration here. Abraham, most people think Abraham got saved in Genesis chapter 12. You're saying, wow, that preacher, his sugar must be way up. He's flipping, he's walking in the tulips with Tiny Tim. In Genesis 12, you see that God said, I'll bless you and bless those that bless you. And he called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees, Genesis 12. He took his wife Sarah with him, took his nephew Lot with him. Wasn't supposed to take Lot, by the way. That's why they had a lot of trouble. But if you look at something, I'll show you something. And I'll give you a truth. Now, I probably won't do everything I had prepared here tonight, but go to Genesis 15:6. Genesis 15:6. I'm trying to work a truth to you about the grace of God. Genesis 15:6. Look at verse 5 too. God brought Abraham out. Are you in Genesis 15? By the way, he started out in chapter 12. How many are still with me? And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven, God talking to Abraham, tell the stars that thou be able to number them. So that he said unto them, so shall thy, not seeds, plural, but just seed, singular, thy seed be. And look at verse 6. Here's, Brother Mal, this is where Abraham gets saved. And the Bible records it in the New Testament several times that this is a place he got saved. And talking about Abraham, Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted to him for what? Right. And that imputed righteousness is the only thing that gets you to heaven. Romans 4:8 says, blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. And so God imputed righteousness to Abraham right there. Abraham got saved right there. And you read the New Testament over and over, it says, Abraham got saved there. I'm going to take you there right now. Go back to Romans. But while you're in, once you get to Romans, hold your finger there for anyone not believing me. Go to Romans chapter 4. Acts, Romans. I'm going to pick up in verse 324. But hold your hand in Romans 324 and look at Galatians. Hold your hand in Romans because we're going to go right back to it, but go to Galatians in front of Ephesians. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Do I understand that Abraham didn't understand everything about Christ, but he understood that there was a Messiah going to come, a Savior going to come, and he put his faith in God to say, yes, I'm going to trust you to bring that seed, that Savior. Are you still with me? And God saved Abraham. Are you still in Galatians? Look at 3:26. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For many as you have been baptized into Christ, that's not talking about water baptism. The moment you trusted Christ that morning as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came into you. And it sealed you to that day. Let me just quote a scripture. It'll come here just 1 minute. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one, you can write that right by that verse there. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in the one body, whether we Jews or Gentiles, bond and free, and have all been made to drink in the one Spirit. And that one Spirit there in Corinthians 12:13 is the Holy Spirit. And the moment you got saved that day, and the moment I got saved from the old green couch, God's Holy Spirit came into me. And he sealed me until the day of redemption. Look at verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither... that means there's neither Jew nor hillbillies. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male or female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're of Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Carl, we got saved the same way Abraham did. We believed in God. And God counted for righteousness. You don't get saved by works. You get saved by believing in the Savior. I mean, you're still with me. Now go to Genesis, go to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read a few verses and I'll stop. We're not going to get done, but I got the thought to you at least. How many have got Romans 3? Look at, I'm trying to show you about the grace of God today. People in the Old Testament got saved by grace. People in the New Testament got saved by grace. There's never been anyone that's got saved by works. In the tribulation, they're going to get saved by grace. I don't care what dispensation of time, you put me in any dispensation of time, and I'm telling you right now, people are always saved by grace. People never got saved by works. Someone needs to hear this tonight. There is no element of works in getting into heaven. None. Never. No one. Nobody. No how. How many are still with me? No works. If you think you're holding, well, I got 90% faith, 10% works. You ain't going to make it. It takes 100% faith. Because your works, by the works of the flesh, I read to you earlier when we first started, shall no flesh be justified. Notice, and see, look up here. When you are witnessing the people, don't yell and scream and say, well, can I show you what the script? Be calm and say, well, would you let me read the scripture to you? Let the scripture. Here's the scripture right here. Romans 3:24. Look at 3:24. Being justified freely by what? What are we justified freely by? His grace. Is works in there at all? No. Being justified through the redemption that is in. Who's it in? Christ. Is it in the church of God? Is it in the Baptist church? Roman Catholic church? Water baptism? Doing the rites? No. Listen. I've been pastoring for over 24 years. I've dealt with thousands of different personalities in my ministry. And you would be amazed at what people believe in. They're not all fundamentalists. By the way, many of them would like to be, but they just never been taught. They never came to truth. You ought to thank God you're in a Bible-believing church. You know, I look back on my life. I'm so glad Rosie's mom and dad were fundamentalist. If they would have been liberal, Josh, they would have took me to a church that I might have never heard the word of God. I was lucky. I started out right. My preacher believed the King James Bible was the pure word of God. He believed eternal security. How many are still with me? He believed in the five doctrines and the justification, sanctification, glorification, condemnation, sanctification. He believed all those doctrines and taught me the truth. You that are in a fundamental church, you ought to thank God. I was thinking about Brother Buck today when I came in. Well, I appreciate you folks coming here. They drive a long distance to come to our church. Brother Buck, I was thinking about you. When I first came here years ago, we had an old couple that joined our church. They lived in Thompson. That's even north of you. Thompson's on the Lake Erie. Thompson's at the top. He drove, and they, by the way, they came for a tour. I think their name was Sullivan. They were senior, and the only reason they stopped coming because they got so old they couldn't drive no more. They drove 80 miles one way to church here, and 80 miles back they have lunch, and 80 miles for the Sunday night, and 80 miles they'll go back. And one Sunday, and they were here every single Sunday, they drove 360 miles in one day to go to church. And they did it for 2 or 3 years. You remember their name, Mac? You know who I'm talking about, that old couple? He was a Marine, too, I think. I think he was a Marine. I think he was retired. I know he was retired. He was retired military. And it was when I first got here as a young kid. And I'm drawing on there. I think their name was Sullivan. And they came for, finally one day he cried. He said, "Preacher, I can't make the trip." And they even came on Wednesdays, too. I can't imagine what the miles they had in that car. And I said, "That's a long ways for you to come." He said, "Preacher, it's worth coming to hear truth. You know, there's a price on truth. Bible says, sell it not. Take the truth and sell it not." I can't remember how that. But buy the truth. Is that what it says? Buy the truth and sell it not. Brother, you get truth. You need to hold on to that truth. Hold on to that truth. This truth that the old man's given to you tonight. You write those things down and you remember what preacher told you. Because someday you're going to need that truth to make a stand for Christ. Look at Romans 3, verse 24. Being justified freely. It's almost 7 o'clock. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption. Who's the redemption in? Christ Jesus. See, you can set. Why am I doing this? You can set people free if you'll just let them read the Bible. You can't get better preaching than this. Who God sent forth to be propitiation through faith. What does that word propitiation mean? It's over in 1 John 2. And he was a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation means that act that Christ did on the cross, suffering and dying for my sins, satisfied a holy, just God. That's what propitiation means. That it satisfied an outraged, holy, shocked God over our sin. That's what that word means. What Christ did. Isn't that exciting? Through faith in his blood, Christ's blood, to declare his righteousness, Christ, for the remission of his sins and pass through forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, whose righteousness? His righteousness. You want to be righteous? You got to get it from him. That he might be just, justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Well, if that's the truth, and it is, then where's boasting? It's excluded. Nobody can walk around and say, "I deserve to go to heaven. I've worked." Are you with me? By what law or what works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Forget works. You're here today and you're worried about works. You ain't going to make it. Therefore, we conclude, verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There's no works involved. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not only the Gentiles? Yes. The Gentiles also. Yeah, because God opened, after, when the Jews turned him down, he opened up for everyone. Yes, the Gentiles also, seeing it's one God which shall justify the circumcision. The circumcision means Israel. By the faith and uncircumcision, through faith, that means the Gentiles. There's only two people, Jews and Gentile. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, we establish it. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. I'll quit. What shall we say then? That our Abraham, our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, had found. He's asking you a question. He wants you to think. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. Hey, if he was justified by works, man, and Abraham did a lot of works. But God says, if you glory in your works, you can't glory before me, not before God. Because your works did nothing. The work that did something for every one of us was the work of the cross, Calvary, Jesus. For what says the Scripture? Now watch. Abraham believed God. We read that. We read that in Genesis 15:6. We read that in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. You can't get to heaven without that righteousness. You must have imputed righteousness from God to get to heaven. And if you don't have that imputed righteousness, you won't get to heaven. If your family doesn't have it, if your mother, your mother-in-law, your father, your father-in-law, or your aunt, your uncle, cousins, if they don't have that imputed righteousness and they only get it from Christ, they're not going to heaven. It's important that you realize being saved is important. It's quiet here tonight. Not to him that worketh, is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Yeah, if you could get to heaven by works, then you say, God owed me a debt. And I paid it back. I paid it back. No, you can't pay that debt back. Look at verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. And even as David also described the blessingness of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessing are they, those iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. I'm glad they're covered by the blood. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means he won't charge you for your sin. Now, does this come at this blessing then upon the Jews only? Or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. I'm all done. Watch. Verse 10, well, how was it reckoned? When it was it when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Oh. Wow. What are you saying there, preacher? And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe through, though they be uncircumcised, the righteous might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also those that walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he being yet uncircumcised. Now watch, I'm all done. It makes you think here. It tells you right away, you're only saved by faith. There's no works. And then it got then he took the father of our faith as an example. He said, was Abraham justified before he was circumcised or after? Before he was baptized or after? Before he got religion or after? How many are with me? He said, not in circumcision. See, you don't get saved by some act of faith or being baptized or some ritual that you might do in a church. You get saved by faith in Christ only. Watch, I'm almost all done. In Genesis 17, Abraham, what chapter did he get saved in? 15. He got saved in chapter 15, verse 6. Say this. Abraham got saved in Genesis 15, 6. By the way, the New Testament keeps over and over. I could show you four or five other scriptures showing that it says, it goes right back to Genesis 15:6, that he got saved there. Okay, he started out in Genesis 12, But he didn't get saved until he was Genesis 15, 6. Really got saved. And then in Genesis 17, he got circumcised and made all his kids get circumcised. How many are still with me? He was saved. He got saved in Genesis 15, 6. He didn't get circumcised till he was in Genesis 17. He got saved before he got circumcised. How many are still with me? I'm not being evil. I'm giving you a truth. See, they put a lot of emphasis on certain of an act of a work or being baptized or taking catechism. How many are with me? None of those. None of those. See, and the Bible stresses that. Hey, I want you to know, Abraham didn't get saved by any kind of ritual and no works. He even got saved before he was circumcised. Because a lot of people say, you got to get baptized to go to heaven. If you don't get baptized, you can't go to heaven. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now you got to ask Christ to save you and repent of your sin and receive him by faith. That's how you get to heaven. I got baptized just in obedience to his command to show people I did trust him. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Just like Jesus rose, died and rose again, I got that same blessing. I'm going to die and rise again. Hallelujah. I'm going to live forever. How about you? And so we talked about the grace. I got to stop here. I think I'm boring you tonight. But the grace of God. Don't sell the grace of God short. There's nothing good. There's nothing that can come close to the wonderful, matchless grace of God. We started out in Timothy about talking about the grace of God. And that's that wonderful grace of God cleanses us and saves us from all our sins, helps us, makes us escape the pits of hell and torments forever, and lets us be with Christ forever in eternity and mansions in glory. That's pretty good grace. Amen? And all that, and you could just keep talking about how wonderful it is. And what did you do to deserve it? Not one thing. What could you do to get that? Not one thing. The only thing you can do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the key to heaven. And that's the marvelous grace, Brother Donnie, that we tell everybody. That's why we pass out our gospel tract and say, I want to tell you about the love of Christ. And you get that got life. This is a different one here, but you get that got life and say, do you got life? Do you got life? Well, there's only one place that can get life, and that's Jesus. And so the grace of God's important. It's the most important thing in the world, the grace of God. And so tonight I'll stop. There's more here, but I'll stop. No works. Someone tells you they... Colton, they say, well, you got to work to get, I'm saved. By the way, what's that Baptist that believe you can lose your salvation? Free will, that's what I wanted. Free will Baptists will teach you that you can lose your salvation. They're wrong. Amen. And they ought to take the sign Baptist down because they're not Baptists. Because real Baptists believe in the eternal security of the believer. Everything was basic tonight. But it's a wonderful truth in this world, even though I might have bored you, you need to keep that truth in your heart and give it to others because God says pass it on. This wonderful grace that verse 1 of Titus, Timothy 2:1, this wonderful grace of Christ that I've given to you, teach other people so they can teach others also. Pass it on. Pass it on. This week, if you meet somebody, try to pass on the wonderful grace of God. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. Lord, I pray with all my heart that we would never lose the truths. Those doctrine truths, especially of the doctrine of the grace of God, help us to always cherish and embrace that wonderful doctrine of the grace of God. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's never really understood, maybe the Holy Spirit showed them truth tonight or her tonight, I pray they would get saved. Pray they would have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening, just before we go, how many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure. I know for a fact. If I died, I'd go to heaven. I know I've trusted Christ. I'm really born again. I know it for a fact." Could you raise that hand? I'm positive. I'm positive beyond a shadow of a doubt. Thank you. You may put them down. Oh, the wonderful grace of God. Maybe you're here and you've never really understood it till just now. I was in church for almost a year before I understood it. And I was in a fundamental church. The Holy Spirit has to show it to you. You have to want to know truth. You have to seek after Him. Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. Maybe here tonight you say, "Preacher, I really don't know. If I die, I'd go to heaven. I've got religion, but I'm not 100% sure I'm saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me, preacher." Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. Put it back down. Anyone like that? "Pastor, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven if I died, and I don't want to die and go to hell. Just, I won't come to you, won't embarrass you, but I want to pray for you." Anyone? Just lift your hand. "Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm really not sure I got that grace of God. I don't know if I've got that imputed righteousness." If you got Christ, you got that imputed righteousness. He gives it freely to all that will come to Him. It's a wonderful righteousness. Romans 4:8, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You know why He hasn't going to impute it to us? He already judged Christ on the cross for you and I. Jesus took our place. Jesus was judged for our sin. Jesus took our judgment. That's why we escape, because we've accepted Him to be our payment, to be our sacrifice, to be our Savior. Make sure you have that grace of God, which brings salvation. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know You tonight, Holy Spirit, help them to come forward and be saved. And Lord, I pray for Christians that they'll, even though this might seem a real small matter to them, this is really a large, this is important. The grace of God is important. They need to have it close to their heart so they can bring it to others also. I pray You'll help us to be bearers of the truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.